Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the top line of Daf Nun Tes, before learning the Gemara, let's take note of our topic heading, the Nosei, that you find in the outside margin. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to provide topic headings and structural notes when necessary. The structural notes are entitled Mivne. In this case, under our Nosei heading, we have written Achilas Chiltis Mehave Sakona, the eating of Chiltis. Chiltis is an item that was mentioned at the end of our previous shiur. This Gemara will mention that the consumption of Chiltis can pose a danger. Under what circumstances, the Gemara will reveal. Now, the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Haiman, the Ochal Tlosa Tikli Chiltis, one who eats three tikli are measures, like Mishkal, three measures of Chiltis on an empty stomach, Liberek on an empty stomach, Mishtalech Mashche, he will lose his skin. In other words, his skin will fall off of him, so to speak. The Rashi points out that this Chiltis will heat him up so much that this feverish experience will cause him to lose his skin. The Gemara continues, Omar Rebbe Avo, B'didi Havi Uvda, an incident happened with me, V'achli Chatik Lo Chiltisa, and I ate one measure of Chiltis, V'ilo Di Yasvi B'mayo, and had I not sat in water to cool myself off, Mishtalech Mashchoi, my skin would have fallen off. The Kiyamti Biatzmi, and I fulfilled in myself the following posuk: Hachochma Techaye Be'aleha, the possessor of wisdom enables the owner of it, wisdom that is, to live. Omar Rav Yosef, Haiman de Ochal, we now have a list of different things regarding someone who eats the following: Shitsiri Be'i, that's 16 eggs, Va'arboi Amgozi, 4 nuts. Veshev Butisa de Parchi. The expression Butisa de Parchi is a reference to the seeds of the tzlaf plant, as Rashi says. So he eats 7 tzlaf seeds. Veshosi Reviosa de Duvsha, and drinks a Revius of honey. Revius is a liquid measure. Betkufas Tamuz, during the summer season. Aliba Rekona, and he ate these on an empty stomach. Misakir Talia de Libe. His heartstrings will become torn, which Rashi explains the attachment of one's heart to his body will become disrupted. Rashi also adds that as far as these food items, he says on the first narrow line, Ukigon to Ochilukulhu, provided he ate all of these things. The Gemara continues, Hahu bar kavya, there was a deer, the oso lebei resh galusa, the have mafsik karon basraisa. It appeared in the home of the resh galusa, the exilarch, the head of the Jewish community out in the diaspora. And this deer had the following problem with it. Mifsik karon basraisa, its hind legs were cut. Batke Rav Btzomas Hagidin V'Achshrei. Rav checked out the Tzomas Hagidin section of its leg. This is the confluence of sinews that occurs right above the knee area of the animal. Sovar Lamechal Mine Bumtza. Rav figured, well, I see that Tzomas Hagidin is intact, so I'm not going to declare it a treifa. So he figured he would eat it, but Umtza. Umtza, in Rashi explains, is a case of a very low level of roasting. Maybe we could call it eating it like a rare steak. So he figured he would eat it like that. Amar le Shmuel, Shmuel says to Rav, he says, Lo chayishmar le nikuri, are you not worried that maybe a serpent had bitten this animal and deposited venom in it, and the consumption of its meat, even if you prepare it in the umsa fashion, this light roasting, the meat will pose a danger. Amar le mai takanto, so Rav says, well, you know, what's the solution? Answer, no sve batanura. So Shmuel says, put it in an oven. De ihi bodik nafshe. The meat under those circumstances will be self-testing. Livdok is to check something out. It'll be self-checking. This idea of put it in the oven is a reference to a full-fledged roasting as opposed to the light roasting that was suggested. So he put it in a tanur. Oisvei, he put it there. He put it in the tanur. Nofal tilchi tilchi, and the meat just came apart piece by piece, just like decomposed. Kori Shmuel olei de Rav. Shmuel referred to this situation where Rav was saved in the last minute. Lo yeuna letzadik kol oven, that no evil shall befall the righteous one. In other words, that Rav was saved, and that's simply because of Rav's righteousness that he didn't go all the way. Kori Rav olei de Shmuel, and Rav referred to Shmuel the following pasuk: Kol roz lo anas loch, all secrets are revealed to you. In other words, Shmuel's wisdom was quite apparent over here. The Mishnah, before learning it, is accompanied by a topic heading in the outside margin, and we've noted here, Ad Sof HaPerek. The topic under discussion is a very long topic. It continues till the end of the perek. It's a number of dapim from here. Simone Kashrus Bebali Chaim. The general topic are the different signs of kashrus by different types of creatures, different categories of animals. What are the signs that if you see them, you know that you're dealing with a kosher animal? As you look in the Mishnah, if you scan ahead, you'll see we've highlighted certain words and numbered also 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 is accompanying simone behema, 2 simone of. Behema are animals. When we say animals, we refer to things in the category of cows and sheep, four-legged, large animals, we'll say. Simone Of are bird signs, and Chagovim is number 3, are the insects. They're kosher variety insects, more specifically in the realm of locusts. And number 4, Bedogim, fish. So now the Mishnah. Simone Behema V'chaya Nemru Min HaTorah. The Torah says what the signs of kashrus are on domesticated and undomesticated kosher variety animals. And the Mishnah says those are in the Torah, so if you look in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Posek Beis, Posek Gimel, you will see the signs that are involved with the split hooves and the chewing of its cud. The Mishnah goes on, V'simone ha'oif lo namru, they were not stated by birds, are not stated in an explicit fashion in the Torah, avo amru chachomim, the sages revealed, kol oif hadores tomei, if an oif does dores, drisa, that's a sign that it's tomei. Rashi explains in the Mishnah commentary, he says, hadores ha'oiches b'tziponov, he holds its prey or its food in its nails, its claws, umagbia minakarka masha ochel, and then picks up from the ground that which it wants to eat. So it holds down its food with its claws and then picks up from the ground that which it wants to eat. That's dores. The Mishnah goes on, kol shiyesh lo etzba yisera, v'zefek v'kurkuvonoi niklaf tohor. If a bird has these characteristics, etzba yisera, Rashi says, this is a type of protrusion, we'll call it a finger, if you will, that is in the back of the part of its leg that has the toes on it. So the toes are at the bottom, and in the back part of its leg, above the toes, is an extra protruding finger-like appendage. That's the etzba yisera. It has a zefek, one of the organs of digestion, and korkovono niklaf, and the korkovon, which is also one of the the organs of digestion of the bird is niklaf, is you can peel. It has a type of outer skin that you can peel off. That's a sign of the bird being tohor, acceptable. Reb Elazar bar Tzadok omer, kol oif hacholek es raglov, tomei. A bird that is cholek es raglov, that's a sign that it's tomei. And the Rashi points out that the Gemara will explain that when you put this bird on a string, you have it stand on a string, you will notice that it splits its toes two in one direction and two in the other direction. The next category, three, is ubechagovim, the locusts. Kol shiyesh lo arba raglayim v'arba knofayim. It has to have four legs, four wings. V'kartzulayim. Kartzulayim are an additional two jumping legs, we'll call them. They are longer than the others. And they are positioned or attached to the locust body near its neck. The uknof of choifenes rubo, and the wings of this creature, of this locust, surround the majority of the body. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ushmo Chagov. Another prerequisite is it's something called, people call it, refer to it, the term Chagov. And the fourth category of creatures are ubedogim, the fish, kol shieshlo snapir v'kaskeses. If it has snapir and kaskeses, that makes it kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shnei kaskasim usnapir echad, two kaskasim and one snapir. The elohein kaskasim, kaskasim are hakvuin bo. Those are that part, that thing that's fixed in it. And very simply, the scales. The fish scales. Usnapirin, those are what we call fins, haporeach behen, those flutter. So without the Mishnah defining each one of the things, I wouldn't necessarily know what kaskasin and snapirin are. So the Mishnah tells me kaskasin are that sign that's fixed in it, the non-moving, the scales, and the snapirin are that which flutters, the fins. As we go ahead in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, the diamond, and under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we see the diamond featured. Braisa im tikun loshon bahemshech. First, the Gemara presents a braisa, and in the continuation of Gemara, the second diamond represents the point of Gemara that it will repeat the source in a more accurate fashion. As we continue in the Gemara after the first installment, after the first diamond and framed section, the framings in our Gemara marking system are attempts to set apart the Tanaic literature, Brises and Mishnayos, that the Gemara quotes from the rest of the Gemara. We will, after that first frame, you'll notice a few expressions that are double underlined. Those are explained here, Kushos al Hanemar beBrisa. These represent questions on that which is taught in this Tanaic source. So now, turning to the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Elu Hain Simone Behema, and the Brisa now quotes a pasuk, and for your convenience, we've included this pasuk on the inside margin. You'll notice where it says Vayikra Yud Aleph. The first we have the quote, a partial quote, pasuk Beis, where it says Zos Hakhayo Asher Tochelu, Zos Hachaya Asher Tochlu, Mikol HaBehimo Asher Tochlu, Mikol HaBehimo Asher Al HaOretz. From the following, the Torah says, you can eat. Kol Mafreses Parso, Vishosaz Shesa, Prosos. The Pasuk is describing a split hoof that's completely split from front to back. Malas Gero BaBehimo Oso Tochelu. And it malas gera, it raises its food, meaning it chews its cud. From that type of creature, you can eat. So the brisa goes on, kol behemo mafreses parzo v'chulei. And the brisa now says v'chulei means simply the continuation of the pasuk which we just read on the that which we've included on the inside margin. Now the brisa explains kol behemo shemalas gera biyodua she'ein lo shinayim lamala utahora. We'll call this an observation. Any behema that you notice chews its cud, you can rest assured it has no teeth above in its upper jaw, and it's a tohor variety animal. Now, the Gemara challenges this contention. Uklolahu, is this a rule? Is this a reliable rule? And as we said before, these double underlines represents a series of questions on that which was just taught. Vahare, gomol, the camel, which is a known unkosher type animal. Demala geirohu, it chews its cud. The ein loy shinayim lamala vitame, and it doesn't have teeth in its upper jaw, and yet it's an unkosher variety animal. So that would counter the claim of the source. The Gemara responds, gomol nivi is slay. The camel does have nivi. Rashi explains this word and says, shte shinayim yesh lo lamalo, achas mikan v'achas mikan. It has two teeth, or teeth-like protrusions on its upper jaw, one on one side and one on the other. And Rashi says that when you look at a horse, that nivi is more pronounced. So the gomol does in fact not fit into what the source established. The source said that if you see an animal chewing its cud, you know it doesn't have teeth above. The camel is not an example of something that is like that, because it does have teeth above. Vehare ben gomol denivi nami lesle. Well, a second challenge is now coming from a young camel. A young camel doesn't have nivi, but it does chew its cud, and it's unkosher. Vesu, and a further problem. Hare shofon varneves demalas gerohain v'yesh lehen shinayim lamala utmein. These are shofon and arneves are often explained in the context where translated as rabbit-related rodents. These are creatures that we don't, as those of you who are familiar with our Gemara marking recorded shiurim, know that we shy away from offering translations of things that are we'll call biological in nature, animals, plants, other than those things that we have a very distinct, firm tradition on. So we practice the more, we'll call, conservative approach and not offer translations for things for fear of error. So, but we often tell you what the popular translation is, but we don't want to commit ourselves to that. So as we said, this shofan and arnevis are probably, they're rodent-like creatures that are associated with rabbits and hares. They chew their cud, and they do have teeth above. Our Tanaic source says if it chews its cud, it won't have teeth above. Well, these chew their cud and do have teeth above, and they're unkosher. V'oid shinayim iksivi boraisa. And furthermore, does the Torah mention anything regarding teeth as being a sign of kashrus? Since when are we relying on teeth or the lack thereof as a sign of kashrus? Elo hochi ko'omar. Rather, this is what we are to understand the source as having said. Kol behemo she'ein lo shinayim lamala. Any animal that does not have teeth above, biodua shimalas gera umafresis parsa utahora, then you can rest assured that it has the signs of the Torah. The signs of the Torah are the malas gera, the chewing of its cud, and the mafresis parsa, the split hoof. So that we're not saying that lack of teeth is a sign of the Torah. What we're saying is that the lack of teeth is a sign. It shows us that it has the signs of the Torah. The Gemara asks, "V'livdoik b'parsa seha? Why not just check out its feet? If you have an animal that you want to know whether it's kosher or not, just look at its feet." Answer: Kigon shehoyu parsa seha chatuchos uchederav chizda. This brisa is featuring a situation where its feet are cut off, and as in accordance to Rav Chisda's case, Before going on, we notice a triangle, and we also have a Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this new marking. The triangle represents three mikrim, three incidents. Rav Chisda Masbir Ma Lasos, what to do. Rav Chisda explains what to do. Lizahois, to identify Kashrusa Shel Behema, to identify the kashrus, the acceptability of an animal, Shesima Nifge'u, that its Torah signs have been affected. So one of the Torah signs we mentioned was the split hoof. Rav Chisda now features a case where I'll have to know what to do if I can't see its feet. Its feet were cut off, for example. The Omar Rav Chisda, hoyamahalich b'midbar u'motza behemo sheparsesel chatuchas. If you're walking in the desert and you find an animal that its feet, the hooves are cut off, that doesn't affect the life of the animal, but it's not identifiable by way of feet as regarding its kashrus. So what do you do? Bodek bepiha. Check out its mouth. Im ein lo shinayim lemala, if it's lacking upper teeth, biyodua shehi tahora, then you can rest assured that it is a kosher variety animal. Im lav, biyodua shehi tamea. And if it's not the case, there's a double negative, if it's not experience absence of upper teeth, meaning it has upper teeth, then you can rest assured that it's an unkosher variety animal. Now, can you rely on this? Uvilvad shiakir gomol, provided you know what a gomol is. So what the thought is right now, and there's the havamina of the Gemara is, well, you can rely on the lack of teeth above, and that itself will show you that it's tahor, provided you know what a camel is, giving you the sense that a camel does not have upper teeth. In other words, if you know what a camel is, and you come across a creature that does not look like a camel, and it does not have upper teeth, you can eat it. However, why do you cite the camel in this context? Gomol nivi islay. The gomol has upper teeth. So that if I open up a mouth of an animal and I find that it does not have upper teeth, why is it important for me to know what a camel looks like? All that's important is that you know that a camel has upper teeth, and you see an animal without upper teeth, go ahead and eat it. Ela, so what was the qualification that was meant to be said here? Ubavad shiakir ben gomol. The ben gomol is the young camel. It does not have upper teeth. And it's an unkosher creature. So we're telling you that if you run into an animal that its hooves are cut off and you notice it has no upper teeth, you can eat this animal provided you know that it's not a young camel. The Gemara asks, Lav Amris Iko Ben Gomol, did you not just say that there is an exception to the rule, namely there's a Ben Gomol, this young camel does not have upper teeth and it's unkosher. Ikonami Mino Achrino de Domi Le Ben Gomol. Maybe there are other creatures that are similar to the Ben Gomol that are unkosher, even though they lack upper teeth. The Gemara says, Lo Salka Daidach. Don't think thusly. Don't think that there are other creatures that are similar to the Ben Gomol. The Toni Debei Rabbi Shmuel. You notice we have a new marking here, this bow tie form. In the outside margin, we have the bow tie featured, and we've written next to that, Shnei Brisos Shel Bei Rabbi Shmuel, two Tanaic sources coming from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Shedor Shos Hamiut Shel Hamilah Hu Bapsukim Shel Isur Achilus Gomo Vachazir. The emphasis will be placed on the word hu, which is a limitation expression. This word is found in the psukim that deal with the prohibition of eating pigs and camels. So we have a Tanaic source coming from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Es Hagamol Ki Malas Geirahu. The pasuk says, "Do not eat the camel, as it is a cud chewing creature." Now, in and of itself, to simply translate that, "Don't eat it," as it sounds like, "Don't eat it because it's a cud chewing animal." But we know that cud-chewing animals are kosher. So what's the pasuk telling us? So the Brisa explains, Shalit Bo'olamo Yodea. Shalit Bo'olamo is the Almighty, the one who controls, rules the world, the Almighty. Yodea, he knows, She'en l'cho dover malagera v'tome elagomo, that there is nothing that chews its cud and is unkosher except for the gomel. And Rashi adds the gomel and the other creatures mentioned in the parsha. We saw the shofan, arneves, other creatures that are also mentioned together with the gomel. So only those things happen to be malas gera and unkosher. Lefikach porat bo hakosav hu. Therefore, the Torah specifies the word who, meaning those and only those. That's a limitation expression. And therefore, any other creature that you notice chewing its cud, and you realize that it's not a young camel, and certainly not an arnevis or shofan, go ahead and eat it. And you don't have to worry, maybe there's something else. And why not? That's what's indicated by the word who. The Omar of Chizda, Hoya Malach B'derech, Humotso Behemo, Shepio Gomum. If you are walking in a desert and you find an animal whose mouth has been cut, in other words, you can't, it's been, let's say it was hit head on by some kind of hard entity and crushed its mouth. Bodek v'parsosel, check out its feet. In parsosel dukois, if its hooves are split, biyadua shihi tahora, then you know you're dealing with a kosher variety animal. V'im lav, if it doesn't have split hooves, then biyadua shihi tamea, then you know it's an unkosher variety animal. Now, you can rely on this rule, ubilvat shiakir chazir, provided you know what a pig looks like. You see, a pig also has a split hoof, but it's not a kosher variety animal. The Gemara asks, well, lav amris iko chazir, iko nami mino achrino de damio le chazir. Did you not just say that there is a chazir that is an unkosher variety animal with a split hoof? Maybe there are other unkosher variety animals with split hooves. So how can you tell me that, check out its hooves, rely on that, provided you can identify a pig, and that's enough. Maybe a pig you can identify, but maybe there are other creatures that are also with split hooves that don't look like pigs and happen to be unkosher. The Gemara says, "Lo salka beitach." You don't entertain that thought or that suspicion. The Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. We have another Tanaic source. It's very similar in style to the source we saw just before. The Es Achazir ki mafris parsahu. The Torah tells us, "Don't eat the chazir," as it is something with a split hoof. And as we said before, the split hoof is actually a sign of kasher, so why is it associated with the chazir? So the Gemara explains, Sholid bo'olamo yodea, the Almighty knows, she'en l'chodover she'mafris parsa v'tomei, that has a split hoof and is unkosher elo chazir, with the exception of the pig. L'fikach parat v'akosuf hu, therefore the Torah used the limitation expression hu in this context, in the context of the pig, telling us that it's the only one that has a split hoof and is unkosher. Therefore, if you know what a pig looks like and you encounter a creature that you don't know what it is, but you know for sure it's not a pig and it happens to have a split hoof, go ahead and eat it. The Omar Rav Chisda, Hoy Mahalch B'midbor Motza Behemo Shepio Gomu Parsusel Chatuchos. This is quite a challenge. You're walking along in a desert and you run upon a creature whose mouth is smashed and its hooves are cut off. Bodek bivsora. Well, you'll shech the animal, slaughter it, do a proper slaughtering, and then check out its meat. Im mahalich shti v'orev v'yodua shehi tahora. If its meat, or its, let's say, muscle meat, muscle matter, is in a crisscross fashion. Some of it runs horizontally, some of it runs vertically. In other words, the strands that form the muscle are running in both directions. Then, biyodua shi Torah. That's a sign that it's a kosher variety animal. Not a Torah sign, but an oral tradition that it's kosher variety. V'im lav. And if you don't notice this meat formation or muscle formation, then biyodua shihi tamea. Then you know it's an unkosher variety animal. Now, can you rely on this? Ubavach yaku orud, provided you know what an orud looks like. In other words, the orud is an unkosher variety creature that happens to have this phenomenon with regard to its meat. Well, the Gemara asks, similar to what we've asked before already on a couple occasions, how can you rely on this Lav Amris Ika Orod? Did you not say that there is an exception, namely the Orod having this crisscross fashion muscle structure, and it's unkosher? Ikonami Mino Achrina the Damil Orod. Maybe there are other varieties of creatures that are similar to the Orod in having this crisscross style meat construction, and they're unkosher. So how can I rely on this? The Gemara says, Gemiri, we have an oral tradition, the Lekka, that there are no other creatures that have this phenomenon about them other than the Orud. The Gemara asks, well, Veheha Bodek, where in the animal's body should I check to see this meat muscle phenomenon? Omar Abaye, Bitemur Rav Chisda, Abaye in some versions say Rav Chisda says, Bekanfe Ha'oikets. This is the, we'll say, the hind quarter, the area of the animal that's the meat that's above the hind section, the pelvic area of the animal. Simone Chaya, Tana Rabbanan, Elu Hein Simone Chaya. We have a brisa that says these are the signs of kashrus of a chaya, leading you to think that a chaya has some kind of like different signs other than a behema. Chaya being undomesticated, kosher variety animal. But that's simply not true. The Gemara asks, Chaya b'chlal behema hi l'simonim. The chaya is included under the general category of behema with regard to simonim. So why would you have a source that's teaching me these are the signs of a chaya when it's already included in the pasuk that mentions Zos HaChaya Asher Tochlu Mikol HaBehema? We saw that in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis. So the Gemara answers that this Brisa that introduces Simonim for Achaya is a reference to a certain aspect of Chaya. And before going on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei Simone Zihui Chaya. The signs in order to identify something as an undomesticated kosher variety creature, kedei lahatir achilas chelba, so as to allow the eating of its chelev. Now, we have spoken in past Gemaras about this. Chelev sometimes is translated as forbidden fats, but we've seen numerous descriptions of chelev already, and it would be more appropriate to translate it as some type of membranous substance, and at times it might be fat-like in nature, but different parts of the animal have something called chelev. Different parts of the interior of the animal have chelev stuck to it. In the case of a behemoth, one has to have a tradition of identifying what is considered chelev, the forbidden substance, versus the kosher substance that's attached to different organs in the animal. when it comes to a chaya, the undomesticated kosher variety creature, there is no chelev prohibition. So that if you find this substance attached to the same organ in a chaya as there is in a behema, that substance in the behema will be forbidden, and in the chaya, it won't be forbidden. So I have to be able to identify what a chaya is in order to know that I don't have any of these chelev restrictions. So the Gemara now explains this. Omar Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera explains what was meant by this brisa when it introduces the signs of kashrus for a chaya. We're talking about Lahatir Chelba. The Hochi Ka'omar. We're talking about what are the signs to identify the creature as being a chaya in order for me to be able to eat its chelev. The Hochi Ka'omar, and thusly we are to understand the source. The following is set in a frame is to identify it as what was meant by this Tanaic source. Elu Hein Simone Chaya. In order to know shechel b'muter, and the following are the signs of a creature being a chaya, being in a chaya category, in order for me to know that the chelev is muter. Kol sheyesh lo karnayim utlafayim. Any creature that has karnayim, which will be explained later, and tlafayim. I've seen in Sforim that tlafayim, according to the Rosh, is pointy hooves. Rabbi Dosa Omer, yesh lo karnayim, I atotzorech lavzor al tlafayim. If something has karnayim, we can tell you ahead of time, karnayim is in the general realm of horns or protrusions that grow forth from an animal's head, but we are not going to limit the translation at this point. That's the job of the Gemara. However, if it has karnayim, then you don't have to, yatotzorech lavzor al tlafayim, you don't have to check out, does it have pointy hooves? Yesh lo tlafayim, if it has pointy hooves, that's not sufficient. Tzorech ato lavzor al karnayim, you have to check out regarding the karnayim issue. The keresh. The keresh is the name of a creature. Afal pi she'ein lo elo keren achas chelbo muter. Even though it has only one keren, we're not going to use the term unicorn because that's associated with a specific creature, but it has a singular keren, or sometimes, as we mentioned, related to horns. It has only one. Its chelev is mutter. In other words, the keresh is a chaya. As we go along in the next few lines of Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles. This is explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The triangle is featured. Sidra shel kushyos al haklal shemuva b'braisa. A series of questions that challenge the rule stated in the Tanaic source. So once again, the Gemara asks, Klolahu, is this a rule you can rely on? V'harei eiz, a goat, d'yesh lo karnayim utlafayim, v'chel b'lasser. It's got these characteristics. It's got the karnayim, and it's got tlafayim. And according to the source, that would have been a sign of kashrus. Or a sign of kashrus, meaning a sign of the kashrus of the chelev. But that's not true. We have the goat is something whose chelev is forbidden. So now the Gemara gets into details regarding the horns of the creature. And it's going to take a number of lines, a number of stages in developing what exactly are the necessary horn identification signs in order to establish something as being a true chaya. So the first stage is kruchos bo'inan. Rashi explains klipa agabi klipa, meaning a type of horn that's made of layered horn material. Layers. And so that would be a sign that it's a chaya. The Gemara asks, Vaharei shor de kruchos vechelbo aser. The ox has horns, and it has this kruchos characteristic, and its chelev is forbidden. The Gemara answers, charukos bo'inan. It has to be a notched horn. Before going any further, we must mention, as we have been doing on almost every daf in our Gemara Markings recordings, when learning this Masechtet Chulin, and particularly this Perek, it's very important to have access to a book of illustrations, and the more the better. The recommendation that we have been making is acquiring the book Sichas Chulin, authored by Amitai Ben David. There are other very fine books on the market, and they too would be very helpful. And we're mentioning that in this context because he features in the book of illustrations these different characteristics, what they actually look like. For the time being, we'll rely on our translation, and Charukos deals with Pegimos v'Charitzin, which we can explain as being notched-like. The Gemara asks, Vahare Eiz, well, what about the goat? The Charukos v'Chelbo Aser. It's important to note, we thought that we dealt with the Eiz before. However, Rashi says at this point that when the Gemara is asking here, Charukos, that the Gemara is backed out of the issue of layers, that's simply not a consideration anymore, that the only consideration is notched. Well, if you say that the only consideration of notched, and that will identify it as a chaya, and the chaylev is mutter, well, that's not true. The aes has notched horns, and its chaylev is forbidden. So the Gemara answers, mefutzolos bo'inon. We require something to be mefutzal. Mefutzal, we'll say fork-like in structure. Antlers that are fork-like. The Gemara asks, Varei Tzvi, the ein mefutzalos v'chelbo muter. Now, we're not going to translate the word Tzvi. In modern Hebrew, Tzvi has a very specific connotation, but the Rashi here deals with the issue of the translation, and therefore... And he mentions that there's a problem if you use the standard translation, so we'll avoid all problems by simply using the word tzvi of the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Varei tzvi, this tzvi creature, the ein mefutzalos, it doesn't have fork-like antlers, and the chelbo muter, and yet its chelev is allowed. So the Gemara answers, chaduros bo'inon. The sign of a chaya is something that, even if it's not forked, if it's chaduros is round, then it's a sign of a chaya. Hilchoch, therefore, now the Gemara summarizes, hecho de miftzala, if you have antler-like horns, the forked-like horns, lodino velodino. That's an expression which we don't have to translate, but we say it means it's something with certainty. There's no question about it that it is a chaya. So forked-like horns or antlers is a sure sign that it's a chaya. However, hecha de lo miftzala, let's say you run into a creature that doesn't have forked-like horns, and we mentioned a few lines up that the fact that it's not forked-like doesn't mean it's not a chaya. It could be non-forked, and yet, yes, be a chaya, like we saw in the case of the tzvi. However, if it's not fork-like, then you certainly do run into it being a behemo as well. So how will I know that it is a chaya? How will I know that something that's not fork-like antlers, we can call standard-looking horns, is a sign that it's in fact a chaya? So the Gemara says, bo'inon, you have to have the following characteristics. Kruchos, which we said before was layer-like. Chaduros, which is round. Circumference of these horns must be round in shape. The charukos, and notched. So we've layered, round, and notched. V'hu demivla chirkayu. And this is provided that the notching is rather one following the other, that one like overlays the other. It's not that it has just a few notches along the way, but one right after the other in quick succession. The hainu, and the requirement of having all three of these characteristics, that the shapes, the kruchos, chaduros, and charukos, the fact that we're requiring all of those is to enable you to avoid a certain creature that is a doubt. Vainu sfeiko de'iza karkois. That enables you to avoid the problem or the doubt concerning the Iza Karkus. Now, there's a creature called Iza Karkus that happens to have two of the three characteristics. It happens to have Charukos and Chaduros. That is characteristic of an Iza Karkus. Rashi, by the way, points out that by having it Charukos, I know it's not an ox. And by having it Chaduros, Chaduros we explained before was round, so I know it's not a goat, a standard goat. Now, if it happens to be Kruchos also, so then I'll know that it's not a Iza Karkus. If you have only charukos and chaduros, then it might be an izokarkos. Now, an izokarkos itself is an issue of a doubt. Maybe it's a chaya. But on the other hand, it's called Iza, which is a goat. So is it a real goat and its chaylev is aser? Or maybe it's not a real goat. It's just called that. It's called Iza karkas. And it's and therefore, and as such, it would be a chaya and the chaylev is mutter. And the Iza karkas happens to have two horn characteristics, charukos and chaduros. So we're telling you now that if it's also kruchos, then I know it's not an Iza karkas, and I'm avoiding even that doubt. The Gemara goes on, Hahi Iza karkas. There was this creature, Davoy Bey Resh Galusa, that was in the home of the exilarch, the Okur Moleitsona the Charbo Mina. And they, after they slaughtered it, they extracted from it a basket full of chaylev. Rav Achoy Osa, Rav Achoy forbade eating that chaylev. Rav Shmuel Breid Rabavo Ochal Minei. Rav Shmuel ate from it. It's pointed out that he had a tradition that the Iza Karkus was a chaya. So he had a tradition, and he relied on his tradition to eat it. Kori anafshe, so Rav Shmuel referred to himself the following pasuk, Mipri pi ish tizba bitno. Rashi says, Bishar sheshomati vikibalti shumuter bitni sovea mimenu. As a reward for that I had this oral tradition, that I had this masora, that the Iza karkas is a chaya, I was able to benefit from it and eat even more of it than others. Namely, I was able to eat the chaylev. Sholchu mitom. A message was sent from there. Hilchasa kavose de Shmuel breid Rabbi Avo. The halacha is like him, that it's mutter, that the Iza karkas, in other words, is a chaya, and its chaylev is therefore mutter. However, vizaru b'rabenu achoy. But be careful and show proper respect to Rav Achoy. Shemeir eine goylohu. He is a great sage and enlightens the eyes of the Jews in the diaspora. However, Rashi adds another facet to what the Gemara is saying over here. So together we look in the Rashi, the lower part of the Rashi commentary. Vizaru b'rabenu Achoy linhoig boi kavod, to show respect to him, v'lodun lefonav kehalocha ad sheyachzor bo, and talk to him and debate with him in this area, in this halacha, until he backs out. In other words, try through legal argument to change his mind until he backs out. However, v'lo lahatiro b'fonav mashu oser, but not to, let's say, just eat in front of him that which he forbids, to simply declare as mutter head on a contradicting him regarding something that he forbids. And why not to behave thusly? Shemeir ene golahu. He's a very great sage, and it would be a very severe form of disrespect to behave in a way that counters his position. How other than through legal arguments? So if you can through logic and offering other arguments in favor of it being classified as a chaya, that you can do. But to behave in a disrespectful fashion in his presence, disrespectful is in this case by simply eating it in front of him, that would be forbidden. The Gemara continues, quoting from the Mishnah, V'keresh afalpi she'ein loy elo keren achas muter. What is a keresh? Omar Rav Yehuda. Keresh equals Tavio de Bei Eloi. Bei Eloi is the name of a forest. Tavio is an expression, it's an Aramaic word, sometimes interchangeable with the word Tzvi. But we don't want to engage in translations of things that we're not sure of, we don't have a strong tradition on, so we will just continue relying on the Aramaic words themselves. Rav Yehuda mentions another creature simply because we mentioned the Be'iloi, the name of a forest or jungle, there's another creature found there. It's called a tigris. Tigris is Aryeh de Be'iloi. It's very tempting when you see the word tigris to translate that as tiger, but we'll just use the word tigris, and it's called the tigris is equals the lion of the Be'iloi jungle. Omar Rav Kahana, Teisha Amsa Havi Bein Una Luuna Da Aryeh De Be'iloi. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that introduces this Gemara. We are about to encounter diamonds, and they are Agodois Shel Mifgoshim Im Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chanan VaKesar Ubito. Agadic passages telling of the encounter between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania and the Caesar and his daughter, you'll see the in Yonam Gadlus Habore, and the general theme here is showing the grandeur of the Almighty. But before we get to the first diamond, we should mention what Rav Yosef just said, what the Gemara just said. Rav Kahana said that there are nine amos, Teisha Amso, he said, nine amos between the ears, between one ear and the other of the Aryeh de Be'iloi. So we saw before that the term tigris is used to describe it, and here is some type of fantastic dimension that's associated with this tigris. There are nine amos, amos being an amo is a linear measure, nine amos between una luna, between its ears. Omar of Yosef, Shitzar Amso Havi Mashche de Tavio de Be'iloi. There are 16 amos of length to this creature called the Tavio de Be'iloi, which we said before with the Keresh was a Tavio de Be'iloi. So 16 amos are its measure of length. Omar le Kesar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanania. The Kesar, the Caesar, addresses Rabbi Yeshua and says, Elokechem ka'aryeh mosil. Your God is compared to a lion. Dichtiv Aryeh Shoag Milo Yira. There is a posuk in the Novi Amos describing the roar of a lion, and when the lion roars, who will not be fearstruck? That's a reference to the Almighty. My Rabuse, what's the big deal if the Almighty is compared to a lion? Parsha Kotil Aryeh, a Parsha, a warrior or a horseman armed with a spear, he can kill a lion. So if your deity is compared to that, so it's not such a not he's not so big, not so powerful. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yeshua says, Lav Kehai Aryeh Mosil. When the Pasuk makes a reference to the Almighty as an Aryeh, the Pasuk isn't using a standard lion as its analogy. Rather, Ka'aryeh de Be'eloi Mosil. The analogy is to the Aryeh de Be'eloi. Mosil is associated with the word Moshal, Moshal meaning an example. Well, Omar Le, Bo'ino Demersis Li Nehali. So the Caesar says to Rabbi Yeshua, I want you to show him to me. Omar Le, Lo Motzis Chazis Le. So Rabbi Yeshua says, but you can't behold him. Omar Le, Ivra, in truth, Chazino Le, I insist on seeing him. You have to show him to me. Bo Rachmi, so Rabbi Yeshua was mispalel. He prayed. Is Aker Miduchte Ki Ave Marchik Abu Me'el Parsi. Let's read this again. Bo Rachmi, he prayed, is Aker Miduchte. So the Aryeh de Be'iloi left its place. In other words, if we said it's a jungle-dwelling creature, it left the jungle and is on its way here. Ki ave marchik arba mea parsi, when it enclosed on them and was 400 parsa away. Now, 400 parsa is something that may be equivalent to 1,600 kilometers, give or take. Mihem chad kola, it roared one roar. Afilu kol mabrisa v'shura deromi nofal, with that one roar from a distance of 1,600 kilometers, mabrisa are pregnant women, shura are walls. The word nofal means fell. In the case of a pregnant woman, the word hapola is a miscarriage. So as a result of this roar, all the women that were pregnant miscarried, and all the walls of Rome fell. Ademarchik plus Meo Parsi, when it came even closer, now it's 300 parsa away, Nien Kolachrina, it roared another roar. Nosur Kochi Vashini de Gavri, Nosur is to fall out. Kochi Vashini are the teeth and molars of people, their teeth fell out. The men's teeth fell out. The Afhu Nafalmi Kursil Ara, and the Caesar himself, as a result of this roar, fell off his chair, fell off his throne onto the ground. Omale, you know, the Caesar realized it's getting to be a pretty hot situation, even though the Arid Beiloi is quite far away yet. He says, the Caesar says, Bimatusa Minoch, please, Boi Rachami Ole de la Hadar Leduchte, pray that it goes back to its location. Bo Rachami Ole Vahadule La Asrei. He prayed and it went back. Omale Kesar Rishuben Chananya, Buino de Echsi Lalakaihu. The Caesar addresses Rabbi Yeshua and says, I want to see your God. Amale lo motzis chosisle. You can't see him. You won't be able to behold him. Amale, the Caesar says, well, I insist. Ibra chazino le. I insist in truth in seeing him. Well, ozal ukme lahadi yomo betkufas tamus. So Rabbi Yeshua took the Caesar outdoors and stood him up opposite the sun in the summer season. Amale istakel bay. So Rabbi Yeshua says to the Caesar, well, look, stare into the sun. Look into the sun. Amale lo motzino. I can't like look into the sun. I can't stare into the sun. Amale, Sir Rabbi Yeshua said, Yuma. Yuma is a reference in this case to the sun. Dechad mishamshe dekaimi kamig dekutsha brichu. Amris lo motzino istakel bay. The sun, which is one of thousands of the different servants, we use the word thousands just out of convenience because the number includes everything in the universe. And the sun is just one of those entities, one of those heavenly bodies in the universe that serves in front of our Almighty. And you say that you can't look at it. In other words, you're looking at a pawn of our king, and you can't even stare, you can't even look at the pawn. Shechina lo kol shekein, the divine presence itself, all the more so, it'll be totally impossible. So how can you stand there, insist, and say you want to see our God? It will be totally impossible. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.